Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the power of your love to change a heart and change a life. Lord, pour your lavish love out right now. Abundant and overflowing into this house of worship right now, into this house of prayer right now, this morning. So all will know and experience the deepest of your love as your child. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There were times when I was a child, and perhaps you've done this too, that you'd pick up a daisy and you'd think of a person. You'd think, for me, I'd think of a girl and in my class, and I'd pull off, she loves me, she loves me not, she loves me not, as I pulled off a petal at each time. And perhaps you've done the same thing, and if you got to the she loves me not, it might have been a sense of relief, or, oh, I need to find another daisy and start all over again because you wanted a different answer. But that feeling that someone loves you. Now, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, he got so excited that Clarice said, "I think you're cute." And he jumps for joy and he flies higher and farther than all the other reindeer on that first day of reindeer games, just knowing love. Knowing love. And then there's proving love, like sticking through thick and thin and managing to survive camping even in a downpouring thunderstorm, or getting through calculus, or enjoying your friends even though they're a little odd, just to be with you, to watch Star Trek Voyager, and driving many miles to watch soccer practice and watch soccer games both home and away. I mean, love. There's love. And take a moment in your mind and just start running through that list of love songs that meant so much to you when you were younger. Or perhaps as you were a teenager experiencing your puppy love for the first time. Eric Stewart and Graham Goldman wrote a song in the mid-70s of the group 10cc. The things we do for love, the things we do for love, like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go, and you feel like part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're going to break up, and then she says she wants to make up. Now, if I were to play a few simple notes, I got my trusty Casio here. See if I got it set right. Okay, here's another song to just come to mind for you. I'm just going to play a few notes, and feel, start singing if you want to. The simple truth about the love she brings to me. Where do I start? Just a few notes brings that theme from Love Story to you. And where images of Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal coming through your mind too. That familiar melody from Francis Lee and those words by Carl Sigmund, to tell, where do I begin to tell the story of how great a love can be? And then I bring your attention to the living God. We are wired for love. We want to be loved. We desire to experience love. And there is a simple truth. God loves you. That is the truth from Holy Scriptures. Do you know the simple truth? God loves you. Do you believe that simple truth, that God loves you? Do you know, do you really know God loves you? God proved his love for you, as it's written in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let that truth of Scripture take residence in your soul. Especially if you feel that there is no possible way that God would or that God could love you. because you start listing off that list of bad things you have done, and one by one you enumerate sins that just seem to cling to you. You can't shake them off, and you beat yourself up over them. God loves sinners. That is exactly why Christ died, to redeem the ones God loves, to redeem sinners. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Come and see. Come and understand how much God loves you. God does not hate you. God is wooing you to come to Him. God sees your sin. Let's be fully honest here. God sees your sin. God sees all the immensity of your sin. God is fully aware of your frailties and failures. God knows your sin. God loves you. God still loves you and always has and always will love you. It is that love of God that calls you to righteousness, to live a holy life according to His word, a word commanded for your benefit and good in your body and good in your mind and good in your soul too. This is what John was writing in his letter when he wrote, "Dear children, continue in Him." And He, meaning Jesus, is righteous. And you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. That's having that family resemblance. You know my girls look like my wife more than me. And that's okay. She's better looking. But I mean, that family resemblance is important. Well, it's shown out in life. It's shown out in life. Have the family resemblance, like father, like son, in the best of the sense. Yes, we struggle with sin, but that is no excuse to give up and give in. Reach for the goal to be more and more like Christ Jesus. Emulate Christ in all of your life. For as you know, John already wrote in his letter that when we do fall into sin, we have an advocate and we will be forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is about showing whose child you are by the way you live. Be that child of God, living in the light, doing what is right. Don't be a part of the group that is denying Christ and left the fellowship and is of the devil. Instead, continue in Christ so that when Christ comes, and He's coming again, when Christ comes, you have confidence in standing before Him. You are easily recognizable as belonging to Christ. That's what John is writing in his letter. And what he wrote to those believers then is for us now. Be easily recognizable as belonging to Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's just the first portion of that verse. And I'm going to focus on the part, how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us. We're going to focus on that for a little while. For it is that love that's been just so huge, lavished on us, that moved God to do what He did through the Son, to redeem us and make us His own children. The Greek translated into English, word for word, in the order of the Greek words, see what love has given to us the Father. Okay, that's the Greek words into English in order. See what love has given to us the Father. Now, here's some different translation of those simple words. New International Version. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. The English Standard Version. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. New Living Translation. See how very much our Father loves us. Berean Study Bible. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. New American Standard. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. King James. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Different translations all trying to convey, see what love has given to us the Father. To convey from the Greek to the English that, and trying to do these different things. Some use the words great love. Others used manner of love or kind of love. Trying to convey the type of love that would send the Son of God to the cross to die to redeem us so that we could be called children of God. Now, the word for love is agape, and that word is there, but it's the word that comes before agape to give that meaning of all those different translations trying to convey. The word is potentemen. Potepen. And that word potepen is the reason for the different translations. Potepen, simply translated, is what? But the rich meaning has to do with the sort and quality of that. So, what love? Potepen agape. What love? What is the sort and quality of that love of the Father, so that we could be called children of God? That's what it's about. John is writing about the sort and the quality of love the Father has is such that uniqueness that when given to you, you become a child of God. This is no little thing here. The Apostle John is communicating that to be called a child of God is something truly amazing. That the Father would actually do this for us. I really like the New International Version. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. And I like it because of that word lavished. Lavish as a verb means to expend or to give great amounts without limits. That's just so much without limits. It's like, Lord, I'm thirsty. Give me a cup of water. And the Lord meets your need by bringing you to Niagara Falls and says, drink. So much water, I will never be thirsty again. The love being put into you is so that you know love and you'll never feel unloved again. Dwell on that image of never being thirsty again. You ask for just a little cup of water and the Lord just pours Niagara Falls over you. Just give me a little love. And he pours his lavish love over you so that you can be called a child of God. A love that does not end. A love that will satisfy all your longing to be loved. The Father has loved you with his very special kind of love that makes you his own child. And John reminds us then through this letter that this love of the Father, that we should be called children of God, is truly amazing. I am a child of God. Say that with me. I am a child of God. Do you realize how special that makes you in the eyes of God the Father? To be a child of God. And it's from the realization of that unfathomable, unique position as a child of God that John helps us to see that Jesus is coming back, and one day we'll be like Jesus. But there's more than that. We will see Jesus as he truly is, in the fullness of his glory as Son of the Father, and also as that never-to-die risen man. So as children of God, which is what you are, live up to that and live as pure as Jesus is pure. Don't break the law and live in lawlessness of sinning. Don't keep on sinning. That's of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. The second half of the verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Born of God, that is you. God is in you. Live life as evidence you are born of God. Live life as proof you are a child of God. Not out of compulsion. Not out of compulsion, but out of loving response to the wonder that the Father has lavished his love on you and that you believe his Son is the Christ. As John wrote in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Contemplate the great privilege bestowed upon you, child of God. Through the love of the Father and the suffering passion of the Son, it has been given to you, child of God. And consider with anticipation as you look towards that glorious place that awaits you in heaven as a child of God. With that said, isn't this enough to inspire and motivate you to live for him? Isn't this lavish love that completely forgave your sins through the Son? Isn't this lavish love that you are called a child of God enough to enthuse you to live for him? No compulsion here. No compulsion at all. Just wonder and adoration and your love for your Father in heaven. Child of God, know the Father loves you. Know this and live it. You are a loved child of God. You are loved. You are loved by the Father. Amen.